Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. In 2023, the City of Kingston declared October as Plantiful Month, encouraging Kingstonians to explore plant-based food options, both for their health and the environment, during the month of October. 350 Kingston took the lead in providing workshops, seminars, and events for the community to learn more about plant-based options. At their last meeting, councillors passed a motion brought forward by Syndom Councillor Connie Glenn, taking another step towards supporting plant-based options. The motion sees the city commit to prioritizing and promoting plant-based food options, and collaborate with community partners on educational campaigns promoting the benefits of a plant-rich diet, emphasizing, quote, sustainability, health, and cultural appreciation. The reasoning behind the motion was rooted in promoting overall health for Kingstonians and moving towards the city's sustainability goals. The motion cites the Canada Food Guidelines, which recommend at least 75% plant-based foods, including fruits, vegetables, grains, and plant proteins, for a healthy diet. It also cites our current food systems and practices' contribution to global greenhouse gas emissions. In the motion, it states that livestock production is responsible for about 14.5 to 28% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Dr. Henry Swoboda, a physician at Kingston Health Sciences Center, spoke to the motion before council.
We're talking about moving towards more plant-forward diets, which I believe are incredibly important for health. But you don't have to take my word for it. The Canada Food Guide very specifically says that we want to be primarily plant-based diets. If we do not change the way that we eat, the way that we do agriculture, our food environmental greenhouse gas budget will take up our entire greenhouse gas budget for everything by 2100. So we absolutely have to change the way that we eat. And this is a well-regarded as the number one way to improve that environmental benefit.
Councillor Glenn presented the motion to council.
This is really about some leadership in terms of the health of our community and the health of our environment. This is not a motion that pertains to telling other businesses what to do. It's about showing by example a different way forward in terms of how we eat. It does help with the environment. And this isn't anti anything other than saying that we need to start looking at things differently. This still allows for meat to be provided. It still allows for animal product to be provided. But what we're talking about is shifting the balance. We have a growing population, as we've well noted in the last bit of conversation we've had around this table. So if we continue down the path we're on and ever-increasing amounts of animal food, we're going to run into larger and larger environmental and health issues. The health impact that we're feeling community-wide is massive. Increased rates of obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and this is the type of diet that helps to prevent all of those things. This, I think, is a reasonable motion that is, again, about moving that needle a little closer. All of the things that we're doing in terms of efforts to promote health and well-being, to take pressure off the healthcare system, which is overloaded, all of the initiatives that we're also working on towards addressing environmental and climate change, this is just another piece of that puzzle.
With the amendment by Councillor Brandon Tozo that city staff report back with a draft strategy to implement the initiative by Q4 2025, the motion was approved with a vote of 10-3. While the motion passed, it was not without controversy. Councillors Jimmy Hassan, Gary Osteroff, and Mayor Brian Patterson were the three opposing votes. Councillor Hassan brought up the first concerns.
I'm surprised that I have to learn from my colleagues, from my politician, who I have no expertise on, to tell me what to eat, what not to eat. It's my tummy, it's my health, it's my choice, what should I eat? And I should be responsible. This is not our job to tell the people what to do, what not to do, especially when it's come to the food.
Councillor Osteroff, representing the rural district of Countryside, raised concerns about local farmers.
From a rural perspective, I'm disappointed in the motion because I think that even the fourth clause referring to the livestock portion and the impact of agriculture and raising of animals, I think that there's plenty of science that indicates that these numbers are probably inaccurate. You know, I'm almost offended by that line because I think it's playing with numbers. I think it's quite inaccurate. And some of the language in here, I don't find it friendly. I find actually Dr. Svoda was more invitational to us. I think it should be an invitation for us to participate. And I don't like to read in the therefore clauses where always ensuring and primary. It just feels forced to me.
After the 30-minute discussion, most councillors agreed it was the right choice to move forward with the initiative.
My primary concern about this, well, there are two, which Councillor Osteroff touched upon, to not be imposing a condition upon our rural Kingstonians who are in the agricultural business, and to avoid any potential unintended disruptions to the ecosystem with regards to those businesses and either our suppliers or them acting as suppliers or with businesses that we have contracts with. So I think that this approach is a bit more responsible. It allows staff to come back with those recommendations. So I will be in support of this. And I truly, truly hope that at the next barbecue, there's still a meat burger option because I will gladly partake in that. But I do think that it's also important to highlight the vegetarian options as well. And I think this is a good step forward.
I think that this really does capture something that we really should be doing as the city of Kingston, trying to promote, you know, local grown food.
This motion is not about turning vegetarian. I think that, sorry to say, like last year, we're reading too much into it.
Farmers grow a wide variety of things, including livestock. So I think we need to recognize that. This is just asking that we start to pay a bit more attention and show a little bit of leadership, particularly in terms of the health elements. In terms of the experts, this is from the Canada Food Guide. Trust me, the experts have gone over it again and again and again, and they've rewritten it multiple times. The motion also isn't prescriptive. It's encouraging. It's about moving that needle. So there aren't targets that are laid out in here where we're saying tomorrow there must be this amount. This is about saying, okay, we're going down this pathway. Let's start on that prioritization.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
I can assure everyone at the next mayor's barbecue that there will be regular burgers as well as veggie burgers. Thank you.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report. The Queens Gaels were in action on Saturday for their homecoming clash against the Waterloo Warriors at Richardson Memorial Stadium. The Gaels entered the contest with a 4-3 record and playoffs already guaranteed. The Warriors, on the other hand, entered the game with an 0-7 record looking for their first win of the season in the final game of the season. The Gaels got the scoring started early as Anthony Leo would connect with Nathan Falcone on this play early in the first quarter.
They got Nico Cuomo on the right side in isolation. However, this pass is going to be slung over the middle. Nathan Falcone, a beautiful pass and catch from Anthony Leo to Nathan Falcone to get the Gaels on the board early here at Richardson Memorial Stadium.
It was a historic day for two Gaels in particular. All-Canadian kick returner Ian St. Arnaud crossed the 1,000-yard threshold, setting a new mark of excellence for the Gaels, and running back Jared Kasari, with this carry early in the first quarter, found himself rewriting the record books as well.
The Gaels 54. It's going to be another handoff to Kasari. And Kasari, he has got a first down and then some. He is running, cutting, weaving through traffic. And he nearly had the ball stripped, but he kept it moving. And that will move him past the great Brad Elberg for sixth place on the all-time rushing list, following his block. Such an intelligent young man, such a smart, cerebral runner, and ever explosive.
Late in the first half of Saturday's game, backup quarterback and multi-position athlete Russell Weir would tally the play of the game with a designed quarterback sneak that would turn into something truly special.
As Russell Weir, instead of just sneaking it straight forward, is breaking out on the right-hand side. Russell Weir has got one man to beat, and he will do so. Number two on a quarterback sneak breaks it wide and gives the Gaels six more points. Mr. Do-It-All did it all on that one. 31-0 for the Gaels with a chance to make it 32.
Russell Weir's 60-yard touchdown scamper gave the Gaels a 32-0 lead heading into the half. The Waterloo Warriors would respond early in the third quarter with a 1-yard touchdown run from quarterback Nick Orr, but the Gaels would bounce right back with this touchdown throw from Anthony Leo to fourth-year wide receiver Nico Cuomo.
Going through his progressions, looking for Nico Cuomo. Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown deep in the Gaels end zone, with 6 points on the board. Beautiful pass from Anthony Leo. Nico Cuomo, his third big play of the day. That's why we call him Big Play Quay. My goodness, have yourself a day, Nico Cuomo.
The Gaels would go on to win 54-7, securing their second consecutive 5-3 regular season record and setting up a playoff rematch with the 5-3 Windsor Lancers. These two teams met in the season opener on August 24th, a game that Windsor won at home by a score of 25-21. Kickoff is scheduled for 4 p.m., but do tune in at 3:45 for the Something in the Water pregame show. From the CFRC Sports Desk, this is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best. This is Jesse Bell with your weekly traffic report for the Kingston region. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on to the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 eastbound at Highway 15, full mainline closure, October 21st, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 22nd, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 23rd, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., and October 24th, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. The Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard ramps will be closed October 22nd through 24th, 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Road closures. Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street at Stewart Street is closed until 7 p.m. tonight for road reconstruction. Charles Street, Bagot to Montreal, is closed until October 25th to accommodate new utilities installations. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th, is closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic only. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. The Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes is closed October 23rd at 8 p.m. to October 25th at 4 a.m. for event-related storage and parking for the Arkells at Slush Puppy Place. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for construction-related activity at the Queen's J-Duck. Wellington Street, Main to George, is closed until October 22nd to accommodate construction-related activity for the Berryfield Highlands Subdivision Project. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles / Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue, Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
Thanks so much. On Monday evening, Kingston Jazz Society presents a free concert by Chantal Thompson at the RCHA running from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Folks can also head over to the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts to enjoy the Dragon of Wantley performance starting at 7:30. Tickets start at $10. On Tuesday evening, head over to the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. for another great edition of the weekly Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam, a free event. You can also drive out to the Cove Inn and see pop folk artist Nolan Hubbard from 5 to 8 p.m. by donation. On Wednesday, you can take a ride on the Wolf Island Ferry and pop by the Open Mic Night by Mike Rapkins at Hotel Wolf Island, a free show starting at 7 o'clock. On Thursday, check out Ben Kaplan along with Princess Towers at Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25. The Saxabells are also playing a free show that evening starting at 5 p.m. at the RCHA. Jen Calder is also playing live originals and special favorites for free at the Grizzly Grill from 8 to 11 p.m. on Thursday. Coming up on Friday, you can see Miel Azevedo, Lily and Dillygaff for free at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 onward. The mansion also hosts a short walk to Pluto, the Vanier's in Montgomery on Friday starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 at the door. Slush Puppy Place will also have the Arkells with Poolside playing on the Big Feelings Tour on Friday night starting at 8:30. Tickets start at $41. Also on Friday, KPP Concerts presents Sky Wallace and Ash Malloy at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are $20. On Saturday, you can check out the Big Fat Horn Band for $30 at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. Also on Saturday, the Grad Club presents My Chem Echo Romance featuring Echoes, Hollywood, and Shook Planet from 9:30 onward. Tickets are $15 at the door. You can also enjoy the live premiere of Austin Wintory's Traveler, a Journey Symphony at the Isabel. Tickets range from $10 to $52 that evening. And also on Saturday night, The Mansion is hosting a pop-punk emo night featuring Monarch, Futura Free, The Backsteps, Alterna, and The Listen Ups. Tickets are $10 for this five-band show starting at 8:30. And on Sunday, check out some lovely folk music by Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn, a by-donation event starting at 5 o'clock. And Roswell Rehearsals is also hosting an open celebration jam at their new space. Tickets are $20 and the fun starts at 4 p.m. And now moving over to the community events calendar for this week, folks can head over tonight from 5:25 to 7 p.m. for loggers and joggers at Riverhead Brewing Company. Be sure to dress for current jogging weather. The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will also host their weekly trivia games as well on Monday night, starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. Also on Monday, head over to the Kingston Penitentiary to enjoy Pumpkin Inferno from 7:15 to 8:45. Tickets are $21. On Tuesday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon that evening at 5:30 for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun, and the run is for all ages and abilities. Also on Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., there's a newcomer men's group hosted by Immigrant Services Kingston, an area where newcomer men can meet other newcomers at 837 Princess Street. And folks can also enjoy Terror Tuesday at Fort Henry with a screening of the horror film Us. Tickets are $15 and the show starts at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Pop-Up Market, featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 and 5 p.m. Also on Wednesday, Kingston Community Health Centers is hosting a fun and friendly craft session from 9:30 until noon, a drop-in opportunity for folks who want to drop in on Wednesdays this fall and meet new friends and craft away. Folks can also enjoy weekly singing for self-care, connection, and a more beautiful world at the Fiercely OK weekly singing community held at Chalmers United Church, a drop-in session starting at 7 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing are also hosting their trivia night starting at 7 o'clock, and One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night starting at 7. On Thursday, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. And on Thursday, starting at 7:15, folks can enjoy Dark Night at Fort Fright, a weekly event running through Halloween. Enjoy scary attractions with costumed actors with your family and friends. Tickets start at $30. And the Domino Theater is hosting performances of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde through November 2nd. Tickets range from $10 to $20. And of course, the Grad Club right here at Queen's University is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday, starting at 8 o'clock. On Friday, October 25th, the YMCA will also host its weekly fresh food market from 9:30 to 12:30, a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. And also on Friday, Pumpkin Inferno at Kingston Penn is still running various days through the end of October. Check out amazing hand-carved pumpkin exhibits with family. Admission is $16 to $21. On Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, there is a casting call for a short film called A Christmas Story in Kingston. Actors of any gender that look 14 to 19 years of age or 30 to 50 years of age can head over to Pedalworks Cafe and Studio between 2 to 4 p.m. Inquiries should be directed to info@creatopiastudios.com. Also on October 26th from 9 to 2 p.m., the Sydenham Women's Institute is holding their Fall Craft and Bake Sale, an event showcasing a variety of local vendors selling homemade artisan gifts and delicious homemade baking. The event takes place at Golden Links Hall, 4186 Colebrook Road in Harrowsmith, and admission is free. And also on Saturday, October 26th, don't forget to head over to the Broom Factory between 1 and 3 p.m. to hang out with lots of amazing bands at the Music Merch Market. CFRC will also be there DJing. Stop by our booth. And on Sunday, get up and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. with your friends. Folks and families can also head over to Fort Henry on Sunday and multiple dates through the end of October for Fort Fright to check out the Ghouls and Goblins, special effects and sound, and amazing actors. Starting at 7:15 through 11 p.m. Admission is $25. Also on Sunday, October 27th, the team at Martha's Table Community Program will host the annual Empty Bowls Fundraiser 2024 at Doubletree by Hilton at 1550 Princess Street. Come and support a great cause while enjoying a variety of soups, take home a handmade bowl from the Kingston Potters Guild, listen to live music, and bid on amazing silent auction items. Tickets can be purchased at marthastable.ca. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online or on-air calendar? Reach out to us today via cfrc.ca. And don't forget to follow us on CFRC on Instagram at cfrcmusic.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.